His grace, for His mercy, and for His love. Amen. My, my. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning, if you will, to Luke chapter 2, verse number 25. I'm going to read down through the 35th verse. Luke chapter 2, verse number 25. Our great prayer for every family in this room, that God would just give you such a profound Christmas season, bless you in many ways. Great fellowship, things said that need to be said, things done that need to be done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thankful for our church, thankful for these families here and extended families. Amen. What a blessing it is to all of us. Amen. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God.
Amen.
Amen. No greater family than the family of God. Glad to be born again. Praise the Lord. God bless you for being here this morning. Luke chapter 2. Look with me at the 25th verse. The title of the message this morning is Harboring a Hope. Harboring a Hope. These are passages that we just read in our Bible class. But I want to preach from this passage this morning. Verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout. You know, I just kind of like how that name is just kind of elevated. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Didn't say there was just a man. There was a certain man. So this man's name was Simeon. He was in Jerusalem. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Father, we thank you this morning for the Spirit of the Lord that does gather in this place. We thank you, God, for the spirit of the people that would hunger and thirst after the Spirit of the Lord that would gather in this place. We pray, Father, as we've come together for such a time and for such a purpose, that your anointing may rest upon this house, the glory of the divine God. Father, I believe that's always a characteristic of the service when people seek you out. You, as we draw near you, you draw near us. And we ask that that would be a divine possibility here. Not only that, but be brought to pass in our own lives. May we leave this place having entertained fellowship with you in a very significant way. We ask God that you would pour out your Spirit not only upon us as we hear and listen, dear God, but as we attend and these altars move upon us, God, as we bring our gifts to Christ in this place. The gift of our life. We'll give you the thanks for it all in the name of Jesus. Everybody agreed and said amen. Praise the Lord. Harboring a hope. Some things we know about Simeon. It gives us just a few particulars about this man's life. Are some characteristics that identify all those chosen to be placed in such a time and in such a unique position. Simeon was in a unique position. It was a very unique time. And there are some characteristics that identify a man in his case. The Bible says of him that he was a just and devout man. And that he looked forward to a fulfilled promise. And that the Holy Ghost was upon him. Amen. These are the characteristics of such a man's life. This is the environment of a revelation, church. To dwell inside this environment is to receive the revelation of a divine God. It is the characteristics of those who would seek God in a significant, unique position. He was not just an onlooker. He was not just the ordinary saint of God seeking after God. But God had gifted him with a purpose. You'll not see death until I reveal my son to you. Not until then. He had a very unique position. In a multiplied way. His unique position was he would not die till he had seen the Lord's Christ. His whole life was now cast upon this singular discovery. His whole purpose for living was for one purpose. I'm going to see the Christ before I die. Three questions. Where do I look? How will I know? And when will it be? These three probing questions seem to employ the mind of all those tasked with tarrying for a revelation of Jesus Christ. Where do I look? How will I know? When will it be? I've asked a variance of those questions I can't tell you how many hundreds of thousands of times. In the midst of a unique position, where do I look? How will I know? When will it be? Over and over in various ways. God, did I ask you that yesterday? Well, let me formulate it with new words. Let me put different thoughts around it. But I'm asking the same thing. Where do I look? How will I know? And when will it be? Over and over again. You'll not die till you've seen the Lord's Christ. You are now in the unique position as to mark time with your life. Saints, it's one thing to have a call, but somehow a call just doesn't grasp the importance of the whole thing. It's one thing to have a purpose, but that just doesn't seem to put a handle on the whole thing. He is in a unique position as to mark time with his life. Can you imagine walking by Simeon? If you see Simeon on the streets, Christ has not appeared. Come on. If you see Simeon down at the store, Jesus hadn't showed up. This man marks time with his very existence. They're not. After a while, you don't looking for Christ. You're looking for Simeon. Did he come out of the house today? I mean, it's almost like the groundhog. Did he see his shadow? I mean, people are looking around. Simeon is marking a space and time. He has a unique position with his very own life. Church, that's more than a call and a purpose. That is to expose the reality in the whole of who you are. Everything counts about you. The very fact that you exist matters because God has a unique call upon your life. Oh, to dwell in such a place with God, if that's your desire, can you say amen? To mark time with your life. Saints, there are a lot of people giving up their life because they feel that it matters less. Break up with a boyfriend they had 3 months ago and they take their own life. Something happens on the job. They lose a position they were counting on and they take their own life. I've got to have another fix of drugs, so I'm going to give the child away. Give away life as if it's non-existent. Caught up in some video game, slip down to a school place and take 20 children's life. It's so frivolous today. But saints, can you imagine having such the ebb and flow of the divine spirit of God that your life is unique for a divine purpose? That you're not of the general populace, but God has a divine call upon your life. You exist for one reason, is that God said, I'm going to reveal myself and you're going to see it. And nothing about you concerning humanity is going to change until I reveal myself in your life. I want to own such a position with God. If you desire that, can you say amen? Imagine the sober thought that must have run through Simeon's mind. I am immortal until I have seen a revelation of Jesus Christ. Woo! Come on, church. I am immortal until I have seen a revelation of... Oh, my God. What a thought. What a thought. There is great resiliency birthed inside one privileged to such a revelation. He can overcome anything. Nothing is impossible unto him. No death, no sickness, no dying, no heartache, setback, or pain. Doesn't make any difference what the economy does. They can shut down this temple, but I'll still be here when everything's said and done. I don't know who's going to take office in November, they may say. It doesn't make any difference anyhow. I'm going to be here to see the Lord's Christ. Amen. Others upset with me. They may ride in the streets. They may all die of a plague, but I'm going to be here to see the Christ. Amen. Others would say, you'll never make it. You're a failure. And we just wave back up with a silent smile on our face because I've heard the words of God say to me, nothing will happen unto you. You're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. Amen. You're talking about resiliency. Saints, if you and I can get a hold of such of a revelation from a divine God, it will also add to us a confidence in times of storm. It'll give you a peace in the sense of problems and difficulty. Saints, the church is born for adversity. If you believe it, can you shout amen? We're moving to such time. The shadow of sin is covering this earth, and we weep and cry out for that. But there's something shaking in the bones of the church. Every time we hear some fresh negative news, that says somewhere down inside the church, we're rattling the cage to be brought forth. God, I was born for such times. These adversities must come. I'm not asking you to take them away. I'm asking you to release my purpose on this earth. Bring me forth for what I've been called to do. If that's your desire, would you lift a hand? Give him praise in this place. What a sober thought, because he too knows that once he sees the Christ, his days are quickly numbered. He'll cease to exist. Saints, that's a probing, sobering thought upon the mind of an individual. That tells that man, well, I was born for one purpose. I've got one. My whole life is drawn down to singularity of purpose. I cannot cease to exist until it comes forth. And when it does come forth, John would say, he must increase, I must decrease. Come on, church. Amen. I'm born for that purpose. It is to bring a man's whole life into a central focus. Everything he is and does matters. This man's whole existence is so important to the whole, everything. He's the point man. Simeon is there. He knows. He doesn't know what's happening back in the hometown of Joseph. He doesn't know anything about Mary, very likely. He doesn't know about John or Elizabeth or Zechariah, perhaps. None of those he's aware of. He just knows one thing. I have a personal revelation from God. I don't care by what means they come. I just know this, that I'm not going to die until I see the Christ. Amen. I've been given a revelation. How are you going to know? You're going to know what he looks like. Will they bring him in? Will they gather him in into an entourage as with kings? I don't know, and eventually he got to the place where he didn't care. Come on, church. Sometimes we don't know, but we still care. There comes a time we get to the place we don't know and we don't care. Amen. I just know this. I know him when it comes. Amen. There he is in the temple. The Holy Ghost comes upon him, and he shows up at the temple at the exact spot, at the right time, at the right place. I have found, saints, that if you walk in the will of God, God will create all the variables, all the characteristics, all the points will come together. You don't have to worry yourself sick. We do at times, and I can tell you, get yourself prayed through, you realize you don't have to worry about all of the things, all the details, all the ifs, ands, where's, what's, how's it going to take place. You'll show up by the divine appointment of a holy God at the right place at the right time. If your life is taking on the value where you're marking time by your existence, you're almost to the point you cannot hope to fail. I'm not going to go too far with that, saints, but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He will turn the common into the miraculous if necessary. Do I take this road or that? It doesn't make any difference. What road? Just stay in the will of God. You'll show up at the right time, at the right place. If you believe it, can you say amen? My God, can you imagine the impact such a singular employment would have on a man? Life becomes only existence until every faculty is drawn into its purpose. Now you deal with that one for a while. You and I go along with existence being the high calling of our life. What is existence to the human character today? If he's young or she's young, it's to marry, have children, have a home, have a family, have an occupation, have a niche in the community, gather friends, finance, whatever the case may be. Live out a purposeful life, be a good citizen, do the things that are necessary, try to improve the existence they're surrounded by. That's the desire. That is existence for them. That's the high calling of that purpose. But saints, once a singular employment by divine God is given as a revelation, God said, I'm going to do a thing with you. I've got a purpose for your life. All of a sudden, everything else becomes existence. After a while, existence gets old. You know, when God determines, I'm going to provide manna for you in the wilderness to sustain, millions of Jews as they're coming across that wilderness. 3 million Jews, you're coming across that wilderness. They need manna every day. I'm going to sustain you by that. But there's two types of indifference. There's two types of of a desire. There's two types of getting frustrated. We don't want this manna anymore. It's a sense of disobedience. We don't want God to lead us anymore. Give us something that we've forgotten, the garlics, the onions, the leek. But there's another type of dissatisfaction that comes from a divine God. That dissatisfaction comes when you've come to the banks of the Jordan River. And it is God's divine plan that you should walk on the other side. And on the morrow, you'll eat the corn of the new land. Amen. A dissatisfaction comes into the heart of the child of God when it is time to make a change. If you'll walk in faith, manna will do you 365 days a year and provide for three meals a day. It'll be everything that you need it to be. But saints, when it's time to cross, another kind of dissatisfaction takes a hold of the lot. When God says it's time to make a change, you're going over on the other side. Everything is existence until every faculty of my life is brought into one singular purpose. Amen. Everything works against it. I'm just here. I'm marking time, all right, daily with a notch upon the wall. There goes another day that the miracle didn't transpire. Isn't that the way we often look at it? There goes another year it didn't come to pass. There's another day, another month, a promise unfulfilled. We're marking time, all right, by the notch upon the wall. Here's another time, another season's come and gone. Summer has given way to fall and fall to winter, and yet the promise has not been revealed. I'm just existing. Saints, everything is existence until every faculty of our lives is brought into one singular purpose. That is, if you've got a divine call laid on your life. Come on, church. Everything is just existence. You're just biding time, marking time, just going through. Your life has no focus and no purpose. Why is that? Because not as of yet is every faculty brought into one singular purpose. There's part of us still trying to find ourselves, trying to succeed in some area of our life, trying to accumulate here, there, and derive from there. Not everything has been brought in to circumspect. Brother Cliff brought it out during our Bible class. There was time of longevity concerning this awaiting. Amen. Simeon tarried in a holy position. That is not just a geographical location. That means you've got to maintain a spiritual position. You've got to keep your ears keenly attuned to the voice of God. You've got to have your eyes fixed on a vision and a purpose. There can be no faculties in our life that's searching for something other. Or we're going to miss that appointed moment with God when the Holy Ghost stirs that spirit and says, this is the time, this is the place, that's the couple, and that is the child. Come on, saints. Every detail lined out. Every faculty has to be in line. Anything outside of that is just existence. Nothing matters. When your life is drawn, woo! Anybody ever get tired of manna? I'm not even going to raise my hand. I hadn't got enough to raise. You get tired of manna. As a dissatisfaction takes hold of that. Some of that's equated to rebellion. Some of that is a holy dissatisfaction that says, God, I know you have a purpose for my life yet to be revealed. And the two war against each other. Amen. It's like a man in a time of war. Everything inside of him says, run. But something that's been trained and instilled in him says, you stay here and fight the battle. All that war going on, there's a war going on two fields inside that man and on that field. Come on, church. So it is for the man and the woman of God who have a singular call and purpose on their life. The greatest joy of any human effort on this earth is to have a divine call of God upon it. You hear me? It's not to birth children or have a marriage or build a home. It's to have a divine call placed on that life. That is the highest calling of the humankind. Come on, church. To have a call. Anything that every faculty of our life that is not brought in to that one singular purpose just equates itself to existence. Let me share something with you this morning that you already know. God has a call on your life. Not much is going to work out. Isn't that amazing? Your dream car just never quite comes together. Your dream home, your dream job, your dream finances, your dream health, your dream family, your dream relationships. Something just always goes awry. You're putting it all together, and right there at the end, it just kind of plays out. And you see, I see the hand of God on it. Oh, praise God. The long-awaited blessing is now before me. Hallelujah. Oh, the grace of God. You start pursuing it after that fashion, then it just plays out. And it's as if God's pulled a prank on you. He's played a, awful joke on you, didn't appreciate, left you there high and dry. Because saints, many times we're pursuing the thing we're after rather than the purpose of divine God. He's allowing us to know that there is a faculty of your life that is not brought into a singular purpose. You've got some leg stuck out there that's out of the will of God. When you come down, you're going to process the events of your life, the things that brought you where you are. Can you imagine Simeon on a daily basis? He's caught in this moment. You're not going to die until you see the Christ. That's one side of it. The other side of it is, you can't die until you see the Christ. Church, you know, a lot of us have been waiting on a rapture prior to the coming of the Lord. We may be looking for a grave. And we may be very regretful. God, just give me a grave. I don't need a rapture anymore. Just get me out of this mess. Come on, church. Amen. Just somehow. We're looking. You're not, I'm not going to die until I see the Lord. After a while, it may be, I can't die until I see Jesus. Come on, saints. Can you imagine the posture of such a moment? You're birthed for one purpose. Everything is about life and living. Then all of a sudden, it's about death and dying. I want to get out of this, man. This continual existence. Every day I'm drawn to one purpose. Simeon, where are you going? I'm going to the temple. Why? He might show up today. Come on, church. That's why I'm here. Well, we've made an investment out here. We'd like you to get involved. You've got some insight, I think, that would be good for this. And can you imagine? I mean, that desire kicks in immediately. You got Simeon. Oh, man, I could do this. Yeah, I could make this. I could see this thing working. Sorry. Can't do. I'm going to the temple. He might show up today. Come on, saints. You're going to process a whole lot of stuff. Everything else is existence until every faculty is brought into one singular purpose. When we finally then say, when we finally, you hear me, when the church finally gets this down inside their spirit, we were born for one reason. Saints, until this, the church is only going to exist. And that's what much of the church has done today. We've existed. That's all. But when the church finally gets us down inside the bones of their spirit and they realize, I was born for one purpose. I don't need to fish. I don't need to hunt. I don't have to run to the mall. I don't have to build anything. I don't have to buy anything. I'm here for one singular purpose. Amen. I was born to do the will of God. When, how, and where? I've asked all those questions, but God reveal himself in his time. You believe that this morning. Finally, you come into a place, my wife spoke about several months ago, about the mundane. You get into a place of the mundane, dealing with the mundane. Nothing's happening one way or the other. I'm in a time of peace, not in a time of war. Saints, you know that's fine for the common everyday citizen, but it doesn't fit well for the warrior. There's no war going on. They've trained all their life. You've got a Navy SEAL who's worked all this time, but he's sent no place to do anything. Other teams are prepared before him. He sits back there, shuffling boards, standing up in front of crowds and greeting the elementary schools and saying, I'm the Navy SEAL. I've been nowhere and I've done nothing, but I'm part of the group. It doesn't fit well. Saints, so it is for the church. When you're birthed into one singular call upon that life, you've got one purpose for existing. That's it. Can you imagine Stephen, that deacon of the church, all of his life is galvanized to one moment in time. Here's a man who's there. They're pelting his bodies with rocks. He looks up, sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He asks God to forgive them of these things. Don't hold it to their charge. He tells them the revelation of what he's seen. They've laid their coat at the feet of Saul, who will later become the Apostle Paul. That's all we ever hear about Stephen's life is one message, and he's the first martyr of the first century church. Everything was galvanized to a purpose, but saints of God, you know, the truth is it wasn't a certain man and it wasn't a certain disciple and it didn't happen on any general ordinary day. It was a man called Stephen. Amen. And when Stephen saw him, he wasn't sitting at the right hand of the Father. He was standing. Amen. It's like God Almighty standing in the bleachers and saying, son, you're closer to me than you are them. Why don't you come on home? Hallelujah. My God, drawn down to one purpose, saints. Everything else is just existence until then. We want our life to matter. It'll be because our whole life is drawn into the purpose for which it's called. If you believe it, can you say amen? Then it is to live for the day. Simeon does not stray far from the temple. It is to live for the day. I'm finally got it, Lord. I finally prayed it through. I finally got it under the blood. It is to live for the day. Everything comes down to one desire. You ever been around people who really hooked up with God, really have a call on? They just don't do everything you want them to do. They don't go every place you want them to go. They don't act like you. They start things, but their interest plays out quickly. They just never set in for the long haul on a lot of things. They just don't get excited about everything in the world. Not much just gets them. You know, they've got talents, abilities, experience, know-how. They know how to do that. You know it's in them and abilities within them, but they just don't exercise it anymore. Life's drawn down to them, and their minds can be quickly diverted on something out there that we have no idea what they're thinking about. But there's something that's really important to them, but it's almost as if their plane is circling over the airport. They're just not landed yet, but that appears to be where they want to go. It's like their face is set like flint, but it hadn't showed up yet. The moment hasn't arrived, but they're waiting on something, and we don't know what it is. But every faculty of their being is brought down to one singular importance, is one thing. They mattered. We stand back. Jesus, the Bible says that Mary and Joseph, they pondered these things in their heart. They held them inside of themselves. These prophetic utterances, something stirred in their spirit as to know this is the Christ, but what that fully entailed, they couldn't put a handle on all of that, but they pondered all of these things. And saints, to ponder, saints, we don't have enough folks that calls us to ponder in the house of God today. We don't draw a question over their lives. Saint, if you're ever going to do anything for God and you don't have a season in your life that doesn't draw a great big question mark on you, it's when you get to the revelation of the thing, the chapter won't be very long. But saints, if there is an exposed period of time in your life where much of your existence draws a great big question mark over, cannot be drawn down into familiar terms, and people are having a hard time putting the handle on you, then know this, that God has brought you into a time where He's meaning to draw every faculty of our existence into one singular purpose. And when He gets to that place, saints, we're just making our way to the temple. Why? Because He might show up today. Amen. Everything I'm living and breathing for may come today. Such men become attendants, gatekeepers for an event, for an appointment. Saints, you and I are called as signs and wonders in this earth. We've been called for that purpose. Gatekeepers, attendants of a moment in time. God said at times, I'll do nothing. I'm going to show it to my prophets first. Will I do a thing? Let's not first show the man of God. Saints, men of God, women of God, who've called to be gatekeepers, attendants of a moment in time when He reveals Himself. Can you imagine? Here comes the Son of God, wrapped in the arms of a loving mother, a father at the side. They're walking into the temple to do that which is called upon couples before them by the thousands to do. They bring in their turtle doves, and they're walking into the temple as a holy presence of God upon them, but it's born out of their own thoughts. All of a sudden, somewhere in a prayer meeting, Simeon, who has done this 1,000 times before they've come, is quickening of the Holy Ghost. Oh my God, today's a day. Whew. Oh my God, today, come on, church. The Holy Ghost reveals, day's a day, go to the temple. Woo! Anybody get a hold of that this morning? Go to the temple. My God. Now this man knows, once, if that Christ child's there, I'm soon going to die. Nothing drove him like the purpose. I believe he put his best tennis shoes on to get there. Come on, Jared, go to the temple. Can you imagine that holy hush that must have accompanied Simeon? He walks into that temple, his eyes are adjusting left and right. He's looking about. All of a sudden, he sees a couple there. They don't stand out in the crowd. Divine never stands out among natural. It only stands out among divine. They didn't stand out in the crowd. But saints, I'm going to tell you, I believe there's an angelic host about them, that there was a witness of the Spirit of God inside Simeon. He could detect. All of a sudden, his eyes come across a couple making their way through the temple. No, the Spirit of God quickens him. Zero said, I don't believe he saw anybody else in the temple that day. I believe his eyes were cast upon them. He made his way straight toward that temple, for they held in their arms a bundle. He said, let me hold that baby. Come on, Jerry. Oh, now, can you imagine having been Simeon that day? Can you imagine having been Simeon that day? Let me hold that child. Oh, my God. Can you imagine the transfer of mother? It's her first baby. This is a Christ child. I mean, they've got little blockers and guards and everything they can get Walmart and buy for the kid. If it fell off her arm, I mean, there's pads 3 foot deep. It's the Son of God. We've got to do this right. Can you imagine the transference of the Christ child into the arms of Simeon? And he takes a hold of the promise of God. He holds God's promise in his arms. There, as he looks upon this child, all of his life has come to the sum of its whole. Everything I existed for, I'm looking in the face of. Everything Israel hoped and dreamed for is now birthed into a reality. The prophetic utterance comes up out of his soul as he says these things. Says, I believe the man was glad to die. Life can be no better than what it is right now. Come on, church. No better. If I go out, it's be the best time to do it. Oh, if there was ever a crescendo of my life, wouldn't it be right now? Come on, saints. Wouldn't it be great to go out powerfully in the presence of God, having done everything God told you to do, a purpose of the whole revelation, seeing God bring it fully to pass, and you hold it in your arms and in your heart. Saints, that's a promise for every man, woman of God that'll walk with him and know his way, to harbor a hope down inside of us that God will make a reality if we'll do his will. You believe that this morning? Close your eyes with me across this room, just a way of shutting yourself in with the Lord. Ask my wife to come to the piano as we're shutting with the Lord in this place. Father, we thank you, God, for your grace and for your mercy and for your love and for your kindness and for your promise and for the ongoing revelation of your presence. Thank you, Father, for men and women of God who've been attendants of the promise, gatekeepers of the purpose of God. They've marked time with their lives. They set a calendar with their existence, dear God. Because they're alive, there is a calendar. There is a purpose and there is a reason. Oh, Lord, before you sent Jesus, you sent John. Oh, God, and after Jesus, there were the 12. They multiplied themselves on the face of the earth. Before he was born, there was a Joseph and a Mary. Before that, there was a Zechariah and Elizabeth and a John. All of that. There was a Joseph and a Mary. And then to catch up with him and to propel him and to prophesy of him, there was a Simeon and an Anna, all accompanied, gatekeepers of the promise of God. Oh, Lord, help us in this church, among this people, in this individual life, as my wife begins to play, and you're shutting with God in this room. Saints, is there inside of you this morning a desire to be right in the middle of the will of God? Lord, I want to be... You and I must realize what that exposes, the realities that exposes. We've got to realize the impact, a sober thought of what that is to desire to be a part of God's will. Some things have to die before other things can live. And every faculty of our life must be drawn down to one pursuit, one purpose. Everything else is existence. The faculties of our life are drawn for the purpose for which we're born. What a powerful thing it is for a man or a woman to say, I want to do the absolute will of God with my life. I want to be right in the middle, in the center of the purpose of the will of God in my life. I want to do God's will. I want to be there. Did you see what that meant for Mary? She's highly favored of the Lord. She's the only woman on earth going to give birth to the Christ child. And she's the only woman on earth going to feel what it is to have a spear pierce her heart when he's hung up on that tree. She not only had the joy of bringing him in a natural form, but the absolute pain of seeing him go away. My God, as earth fought heaven, Mary's pain, she was willing to take up that prospect, pray herself through, for there was somebody more important than Mary. That was the Christ that she birthed. Everything else was existence. We can say all we want to. We can talk about Mary's other children, what they did for a living, and her genealogy and family tree. But saints, we know Mary for one reason. You're highly favored of the Lord. Oh, that holy thing. Gonna be birthed, that seed inside of you. You're gonna carry the Christ. Oh, my God. We don't know a thing about Simeon before nor after. But we know one detail of that man's life. He was there in the temple to prophesy of who this was that he held in his hand. Not much is said about Anna other than that she was faithful unto God. She'd been married for 7 years and a widow for much longer time. But she was in the temple and fasting and prayers daily, because every faculty of her existence was drawn down to one purpose. I want to see the promise when it comes. Oh, my God. I'm going to ask you to stand with me across this room. The saints, this morning, this altar call is not given us for to bring our gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, but it is to pose this question. Are you willing to harbor a hope? Oh, my God. Are you willing to say, Lord Jesus, I want my life to be birthed for one singular purpose. I forego anything else. Sure, there are natural desires. We're birthed with that, church. But you're here this morning to say, God, if any of those infringe upon the purpose of God upon my life, I'm willing to lay them aside. But I want to be a part of the move of God. I want to do your will. I feel a pull of the Holy Ghost to be a part of that. I don't want to shun it. For saints of God, there will be times of pain. If you don't want pain, don't accept this. If you don't want suffering, sorrow, and loneliness, you're going to have to stand on the outside of the cellar while other people are, you're holding the door for them while they're getting in out of the storm. The hail's pelting you on your head. And you know, if God really loved me and cared about me, he'd keep me safe. Saints of God, you're the reason you, because his loving is because the reason you're standing there. You own a position with God that you said, Lord, I'll take up. He took you up on it. Saints, the reward for that position are on the other side. Not much seen here. There's apologies you ought to get that's not going to come. There are too many of them. You're not going to get them all. Folks should have done you right and they didn't. That's going to come. You're going to be accused of things you're not guilty of. That's going to come. You're going to be questioned on many of the actions of your life. You're going to be drawn into questionable circumstances for which you cannot lift up a defense for your own cause. If you don't want anything to do with that, don't accept this call. Don't dare accept it, for it'll be too painful. It's like a bucking bronc. It'll kick you off and it'll buck you off, kick your eyes out. But if you're here this morning, you say, Lord, I care not for pain or suffering or sorrow. I don't want any of it. I want love and acceptance and tranquility and peace. But above all of this, there's something that beats in my heart today. I have no gold. I have no frankincense. I have no myrrh. I have no money to give to the man laid at the gate beautiful. But such as I do have, oh, church, this morning you can lay down no higher treasure than when you give yourself completely to God. That doesn't mean you just show up on Sunday morning with your tithe envelope in your hand. That means, God, I'm not giving you 10. I'm giving you everything I've got. All I am. You can have all of me, all of my faculties, my mind, my soul, my body, my blood, everything. Saying so many times in the church, we want to serve God if he'll keep us healthy and wealthy and alive and blessed and happy. Oh, no, that's all existence. Those faculties have not been drawn into one divine purpose. You haven't given up. You're still hanging on to your world. You can never be used to that scope. Only Simeons and Annas and Marys and Josephs. Only those. Only Davids and Josephs of Old Testament and Daniels who not defile themselves. Those who ever faculties brought into one prayer. Only Stephens can hold such a position. Oh, my God. Oh, lift your hands with me across this room. Let's seek him in this place. If in this room this morning, as an individual in this room this morning, say, God, I'll forego. Lord God, I don't want to lay down sacrifice before you, but I'm called to. But I walk through the pain of it. Saints, if there's no pain, there's no sacrifice. If you're not disturbed or shaken by the act that you're about to commit or the thing that you're about to lay down, it's cost you nothing. David said, I'm not going to offer that as worship unto God. You're here this morning, say, Lord, I could choose an easier way, and there's everything inside of me would scream to do so. But there is a compelling of the Holy Ghost inside of me that says, Lord, no matter the wind, the rain, the cold, the hardship, or the suffering, God, I'll stand in that place. You'll provide for me. You're going to protect me. You're going to take care of me. You're going to meet my needs. But it's not my provision, my protecting, my needs that I need met most. It's to do your will. When it all comes, when it all's settled, if the deed's done, my life's over, it's done with. But Lord, what greater, higher calling is that? To go out in the glory of God. There are those among the halls of faith that would not escape because they sought a greater resurrection. Oh, my God Almighty. Spirit of the Lord's in this place. Is there a Simeon here this morning? Perhaps an Anna. Father, this morning in this place, we're living in the dispensation of the coming of the Lord. The church has begun to turn its foot toward home. God, she's not looking back, she's looking forward. She's making herself ready. God, this church of the Lord Jesus Christ has begun to preen her garments. Oh, Father, she's going through her cleansings. Father, her aromatic potions are being applied to her life, oh God. She's being sought out. She's being counseled by the Holy Ghost, tutored in wisdom, Lord Jesus, to get herself ready for the bridegroom is about to reveal himself. Oh, God, what he's gone to prepare, God has been made ready. Father, we're living the most prophesied time of the church. Is there a Simeon and an Anna in the house? There is somewhere, someplace. Oh, there's a prophetic voice because there's a prophetic life. Somebody's gotten past all of the things that are necessary to this life for the one divine purpose they desire to be called for. God didn't ask you to throw away your life so that you may serve him. He's asking you to give him your life. There's a big difference there, church. The enemy would say God will just roll you up like a tin can and toss you in the direction of his will. And if you survive, maybe you can do something worthwhile. That's not at all the will of God. That's the lie of the adversary. The Lord would say to you, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Take it upon you. Come walk with me. Find my will. See what I can do. You live this thing out fully. Oh, my. Give yourself. Is there a Simeon this morning? Is there an Anna in this house? As my wife begins to sing and you're in this place, you'd say, God, I want to go so far as to give you my whole will. Now, don't move until we're finished here. You're here this morning and say, God, I'm willing to go that far. Now, you must take this with a sober mind. I'm not just giving you a flippant invitation to come to the altar, friend. You must take this invitation with a sober mind. You'd say, God, I'm willing to be dispossessed of my faculties. You take over my life. You're in control. I'm tired of trying to do this. Or maybe I'm not tired. Maybe my life's been good to me. I've had joy. But your beer in the last little while, it's been drawn down to problems and difficulty and despair and just existence. You're just living. You're just breathing air. That's all you're getting much out of life. You can't see your purpose. The saint of God, the reason is because not every faculty of your life is drawn into the one purpose for which you've been called. That's the problem. Not because God wants to beat you up and drag you through the mud, but every faculty has got to be drawn to one purpose. Or you can never be at the right place at the right time. There's got to be somebody to tell it. Somebody share it. Somebody's got to believe it when everything is against that believing. There's got to be somebody to believe it when you're the only one left to believe it. Somebody's got to believe God. Abraham, you've got to keep telling it. You're too old now, but I'm going to do the work in you. It's going to take a miracle, but the world will see it come to pass. Are you willing this morning to be an Anna or a Simeon? As my wife begins to sing, that's your desire. I want you to come into these altars. Would you cross this building? Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Take this as a very sober invitation.
Be Jesus in me. No longer me, my Lord, but thee. Resurrection power, come and fill me.
It's a wrestling match, Lord, until I give way to this whole calling.
No longer
my life will fail of its purpose because I have begun something in you that must not fail to be brought to pass to a heart of full obedience. I must not start, but I'm unwilling to conclude. Children of Israel crossed the Jordan, but they started what many of them didn't finish. Oh, my God, sing it again.
Jesus, be Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
In me. Power, come and fill me this hour, resurrection power to fill me. Fill me this hour, my Jesus. Be Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Be Jesus. Lose their power.
Process, then there's that time you must stand up to do the will of God. Pastor, I'm not quite ready. I don't have a thing in place. You never will. For the things that are important to you are not important to God. Let me go first bury the dead. You let the dead bury their dead. You come follow me. Let me go tell my mother and daddy goodbye. What is that to me? Elijah placed that mantle on him. It doesn't matter to me. Here to do the will of God. Here this morning you'd stand and say, Lord, use me. I'll be what you want me to be. We're going to sing this chorus again. Lift your hands across this room as we conclude this service in this fashion. Amen. Here I am, Lord. I'm standing as a testament to you this morning. Sing it again.
Hallelujah. I need thee. Oh, hell, I need thee. It's every Here's the thing, for I'm coming. Oh, he's already come, but I'm coming. Oh, I am coming to thee, yes, my Lord.
Father, we thank you this morning for dealing with us after such a fashion. God, in the time that you would do many things in this earth, you will first of all reveal these things to your church. There must be Simeons and Annas in place, Josephs, Marys.